Welcome to Bible Chapter Every Day. I'm Matthew. Our chapter today is Micah 4. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, your plans are great. You have done and you will do amazing things. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your great plan. We are amazed. Amen. Micah 4. And it will be that at the end of those days, the mountain of the house of Yahweh will be established as the highest of the mountains, and it will be lifted up above the hills, and people will stream to it. And many nations will come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, and to the temple of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go out from Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he will judge between many peoples, and will arbitrate for strong nations far away. And they will beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up a sword against a nation, and they will no longer learn war. But they will sit, each under his vine, and under his fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the mouth of Yahweh of hosts has spoken. For all the nations walk, each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of Yahweh, our God, forever and ever. In that day, declares Yahweh, I will assemble the one who limps, and I will gather the one who has been scattered, and those whom I have mistreated, and I will make the one who limps a remnant, and the one driven far away a strong nation. And Yahweh will reign over them on Mount Zion from now on to forever. And you, O Migdol Eder, hill of the daughter of Zion, to you it will come, and the former dominion will come, the reign of the daughter of Jerusalem. So then, why do you shout a loud shout? Is there no king in you? Has your counselor perished, that pangs like a woman in labor have seized you? Writhe and groan, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in labor. For now you will go forth from the city, and you will camp in the field. You will go to Babylon. There you will be rescued. There Yahweh will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. And now, many nations are gathered against you who are saying, Let her be defiled, and let our eyes gaze upon Zion. But they do not know the thoughts of Yahweh, and they do not understand his plan, that he has gathered them as sheaves to his threshing floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for your horn I will make as iron, and your hooves as bronze. And you will break many peoples in pieces, and their gain you will devote to destruction to Yahweh, and their wealth to the Lord of the whole earth. Well, that's the reading. Let's dig in. I think that the book of Micah is in three sections. The first section was chapters 1 and 2. It started with here. It talked about God's judgment on his people and some of the reasons why. They were oppressing the poor, stealing what they could in some sort of legal way. But then it ended with some hope, Yahweh, leading his people like a shepherd. Then chapter 3 started with the second section, with the word translated here, listen, and it started with judgment. Specifically, this was directed at the leaders who were in it for themselves. He mentioned rulers, priests, and prophets, who were all in it for themselves, and said that because of them, Jerusalem will be destroyed. But now, in this chapter, while we're still in the same section, he has a much longer message of hope for the future. So, right after saying at the end of chapter 3 that Jerusalem will become a heap of rubble, this chapter starts saying, The mountain of the house of Yahweh will be established as the highest of the mountains. The first few verses of this chapter are almost the same as some verses at the beginning of Isaiah 2. We don't know if Micah got these words from Isaiah or if both of them got the words from another source. Well, we know they were both inspired by God to write these, but plagiarism wasn't a thing in those days. They didn't have to cite their source, and in each case, the verses fit the context. Micah here is jumping far ahead to say that the destruction of Jerusalem is not the end. God will restore and actually make Jerusalem better than before. All the nations will come to Jerusalem to worship the God of Jacob, and there will be peace. They won't need weapons anymore, so they will turn them into farming implements. Then we move on to material we only have in Micah. Yahweh says he will take the scattered and wounded people and turn them into a strong nation, with Yahweh ruling over them forever. This word, Migdal Eder, means tower of the flock. The idea is a watchtower near a flock of sheep, so that the people could go up on top of the watchtower and look for any predators coming to protect the sheep. And Jerusalem is like that watchtower. Jerusalem will rule again. But then he comes back to what is going to happen in between his day and this great day of Jerusalem rising. He says the daughter of Zion is going through labor pains. Zion is generally used as another word for Jerusalem, often in poetry in the Bible. He says she will go to Babylon, but Yahweh will redeem her. He talks about a time when many nations are gathered against the Jews, but they don't know Yahweh's plans, that he has gathered these nations to their own destruction. They are going to be threshed. Threshing was rather violent, as you had to be rough on the grain to separate the useful wheat berries from the hull or the chaff. So he says the daughter of Zion will thresh the nations like an animal with sharp horns and hooves. They will be devoted to destruction to Yahweh. Which reminds me of that ban of destruction on Jericho when Joshua first took the promised land. And now for a deeper dive. I don't have all the answers as to what this means. Sorry. There are several things about prophecy in the Bible that make it hard to be specific. First, Micah uses language that the people of his day would understand to describe things that they probably wouldn't even have language for. This idea of turning spears into pruning hooks doesn't mean quite as much to us today, because we don't think of using spears in war. What we think of for war today, we usually think of guns. Although, if the trends continue, in the not-too-distant future, we'll start to think not so much of guns, but of drones when we think of war. Also, we're not as much into agriculture as the people of Micah's day, so pruning hooks don't mean as much to us. To them, having a fig tree was a picture of peace. Of course, a tree is a peaceful thing in and of itself. People naturally calm down when they're among trees. A fig tree will produce figs, of course, which can be dried and provide some sweet food for a long time. And if you have a fig tree, you need to prune it. But it's a very peaceful and enjoyable job. So, we can get the basics of this chapter pretty well when we think through it. There's a great time coming of wonderful peace under Yahweh's rule. But in the meantime, there will be some hard times to go through. Another thing that makes prophecy in the Bible hard is the timelines. We went from Jerusalem being destroyed to this wonderful time of peace where Yahweh rules from Jerusalem. But there's no clue as to how far apart these events are. We know Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians around 586 BC. And Yahweh ruling from Jerusalem started in a way when Jesus came, and then the church started in Jerusalem, roughly 30 AD. And the real Jerusalem is spiritual Jerusalem. But I don't think all of this is fully fulfilled yet. We are not in that great peace fully yet. We can individually be under God's rule now and experience God's peace in our own lives. But I think there's a great deal more coming when God judges the nations. And then this time when the enemies gather. You could say that was sort of fulfilled when Assyria came near Jerusalem and God killed 185,000 of them in one night. But I don't think that's the final fulfillment. We've seen a few prophecies of this gathering of the nations to attack the Jews that ends with the destruction of the enemies and the salvation of the Jews. And it seems that this is another prophecy of that time. But I have no idea how that will play out. And I don't think that this prophecy was given so that we could figure out the details ahead of time. We do know how it will end: the destruction of God's enemies and Yahweh ruling. And that is enough. We can just be thankful that God is allowing us to know Him and be under His rule now and experience the beginning of His peace. Scripture quotations are from the Lexham English Bible. Copyright 2012, Logos Bible Software. Lexham is a registered trademark of Logos Bible Software.